My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Welcome to another edition of Inside United. This is a place where we meet interesting people in the United Church of God and people that we cross paths with. Today we have Davidson Liebe, who has been here for the Pastoral Development Program here at the Home Office. And he came here with his wife, Tutu, spelled H-T-O-O. H-T-O-O, but they're United Church of God members now attending the Sheffield congregation in the United Kingdom. Welcome to Cincinnati.
Thank you.
We're so very happy to have him here. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Davidson and his background. The Davidsons are from the Karen tribe in Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, and they lived in the village of Sakanji in the Delta region. Burma gained independence from Britain in 1948. Being Karen and not Burmese, they had difficulty obtaining status, and there was conflict between them until a ceasefire in 2012. It was a very, very long civil war. Davidson and his family had refugee status and eventually were able to immigrate to the United Kingdom. We also have with us, I might just add, the international advisor for the United Church of God. His name is Aaron Dean. Hello, Aaron.
Hello, Victor. Thank you.
Aaron Dean and I work very, very closely on matters relating to people overseas. Davidson, I'd like to hear from you about your life. I would like to hear your story.
Well, first of all, I would like to go into our background history a little bit. We are Karen people, and we are our background was a mainstream Christian.
Mainstream Christian.
Yes,
that's how you started.
Yes. Uh-huh. And at the age of 7, my father, then he was only, I think, 45, something like that. He came to know the truth. But my father, as he was from the Baptist background, he was very, very dedicated to God. Even though he has another troop initially, but he always taught us to live God's way of life. And my father was a teacher also. He was teaching in one of the middle school, that is a government school. Mm-hmm. He was teaching science and English. And my father, when he was in the Baptist church, he was a very good musician, so he was very, I can say that he was popular for that mm-hmm. time. But when he came to know the truth in 1962, I think, one day he got a very old plain truth magazine from one of his friends in the village. For me, I always noticed what my father was doing. And in just a couple of years, he came to contact the Worldwide Church of God in the days of Mr. Armstrong. Then he ordered more booklets. And I always checked what my father was doing. And I saw that he received the booklet, he received the paper monthly. And with fervent prayer, he tried so hard to learn the truth. And finally, just after a couple of years of his study, He decided to convert his belief from the false belief to the truth belief.
Was he alone, or were there others who believed like him?
Initially, he was alone.
Alone.
Uh-huh. Yes, but he did tell our family, our mother and our brother, sister, that what we have done is not biblical. Mm-hmm. And since he came to know the truth, some of his relatives came to study the truth also. Just a few people from outside, not related to us, came, maybe 2-3 people. Yeah. And despite they could not contact a minister for baptism, mm-hmm. they start keeping the holidays, they start keeping the Sabbath day, weekly Sabbath day.
And they hadn't seen or visited with anybody until then?
No, uh-huh. until then. So, but I came to know that one time he tried to contact Worldwide Church from Australia, asking for the baptism. Mm-hmm. But as the foreigners are not given the visa, so that is a problem for my father to have a baptism. Mm-hmm.
So who was the first minister to visit with your father?
I think that the first minister was Mr. Guy Ames, I think. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my father was not, he was not disappointed. He kept going on. Mm-hmm. And until Mr. Guy Ames, he came to Yangon, and at the same time, my father and some other relatives, altogether 16 members, they received baptism in Yangon. And mm-hmm. Before baptism, my mother was sick for a long time. Mm-hmm. He had a heart problem. Mm-hmm. That's why just a year after her baptism, my mother passed away.
Oh, that was in 1970?
My mother passed away in 1976, January 16th.
See, by this time I was hearing about you through Dr. Herman Hay, you mm-hmm. know, who seemed to have a relationship and knowledge of your father.
Yes.
And Sol Lee Bay was a name that we had spoken of,
yes,
you know, quite yeah. often. Maybe at this point you could tell me about the civil war between the Karen and Burmese, how this made things difficult, because it seemed like it was impossible for a Westerner, mm-hmm. you know, easily to go into Myanmar. There were so many restrictions, and, you know, as far as like even having meetings, even until recent times, mm-hmm. until after the ceasefire, you know, with the Karen and Burmese.
Yeah.
But can you briefly tell me about this war? It started in 48 after Myanmar or Burma became independent?
Yes, Burma gained independence in 1948 mm-hmm. from British. Mm-hmm. And after Burma gained independence, after British left, many, many ethnic group, mm-hmm. ethnic minority in Burma, they are asking for their freedom. Mm-hmm. Among them, the Karen people was one of the mm-hmm. major ethnic.
Well, Karen are a big percentage of the population
of
Myanmar.
Yes, the number is 8 million mm-hmm. Karen people. Mm-hmm. While British rule in Burma, Karen people used to be the good friend of British. They mm-hmm. fought alongside British, fought against the Burmese. Uh-huh. So after British gave independence to Burma, then civil war continued taking place for Karen people until 2012. But in 2012, Karen signed ceasefire with the Burmese.
Now, at this time in the 1970s, you were. When did you become a refugee, or when were you taken to a refugee camp?
Yes, in 1985, then I decided to come to the border, to Thailand, because I heard that there a good job is available. So I came back later on. I was teaching in one of the high school in Karen, mm-hmm. in Karen area. Yeah, in the Thai territory. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was teaching in that school from 1985 to 1995.
So that's in that period is when I met you. I met you in 1993.
Yeah. Uh-huh. In 1993, I crossed the border and I tried to attend the Feast of Tabernacle. Uh-huh. As we know the truth already from our father. Mm-hmm. And we have kept the feast each year mm-hmm. when we were in Burma. But when I lived apart from my father, mm-hmm. I could not go back because of some restriction. Mm-hmm. As we have lived in the conflict area, so we could not go back. Yeah. So anyway, in 1993, some of a Karen church group, they already resettled already in the Thai territory. Mm-hmm. Yeah, by the support of the church. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the war church of God. So,
but the war was continuing on the Burmese side.
The wars continue. So in 1993, I crossed the border and I was attending the Feast of Tabernacle and I met you, Mr.
Yes.
Kubik. Then by God's grace, yes, I became the member since 1993. And I was so happy to become a member. Mm-hmm. And I keep going on in the church and I try to find a job. As we live in Thailand without any paper, that means we do not have any identity.
No status.
Yeah, no status. So it's very difficult to survive in Thailand. But meanwhile, as the worldwide church, they support us, our daily food and our shelter to rent a house. But in 1995, my wife received baptism from Mr. Aaron Wiley. That's in 1995. But unfortunately, we got the very sad news that the church, the worldwide church, tried to introduce a new teaching, which is not biblical. So many ministers left the church. I have read the worldwide news published by the World Church of God every week. And I found that, minister, they are disfellowship, for not accepting the new teaching.
I was on that list.
Yeah. My father also. Mr. Dean also. They were fired by Joseph the Cat. And I was thinking every day, what can I do? This is not the truth. But on the other hand, the church support us. And meanwhile, I didn't have any job. It was very challenging for our family.
Very difficult decisions
very
to
difficult.
Make.
That's why I tried to find a job. And I pray that God answered my prayer. As I was in civil engineering, I couldn't find a job in Thailand that related to my career, you know. But in my mind, I think I will, if I got a job or not, I will declare to my my deacon, you know, the World Church deacon, then I will leave the church because I no longer accept the teaching. So in 1996, I declared to my deacon that, please understand me, I will no longer stay with you. I will leave now because I cannot accept the new teaching. Then, it happened at the same time that I got a job. So that is a blessing.
And that was on the Burmese side.
In Thailand. In Thailand.
And your father was still living there?
Yeah, my father still lived in Burma.
But you were never able to go back to see him?
No, never. But when I still remain in the World Church, I think my father heard about the news that I still remain in the World Church. He wasn't happy with that. But when after I left the church, I wrote a letter to him, notified him that now I left the church already. And I came to contact with the United Church and with Mr. Leon Sexton also, because they are...
Leon Sexton.
Keeping the Sabbath.
Yeah, keeping the Sabbath. They are upholding the truth. So my father was very happy. And he responded my letter that, my son, I know that you left the church, the World Church, so I'm very happy. And I'm very proud of that, because you decided the right way. And that is, I think, in 1996, I wrote a letter to my father. And in end of 1999, I met Mr. Leon Sexton. He came to the borderline because...
Yeah, the Ambassador Project.
Ambassador Project, And Mr. Sexton also knew my father by name very well. So he was happy to meet me. And meanwhile, we came to communicate, to make friends. And as Mr. Sexton has a plan to open a legacy school in Chiang Mai, I used to be his helper. And also at the same time, he tried to establish a school. And Mr. Sexton always came to Mesot to meet me. And each time when he came to Mesot, we have a service on the Sabbath day. And I used to be his interpreter for the services. And on the other hand, I have three kids. So I try to raise them in difficulty. So we raised her. Then by the grace of God, in late 2007, we received opportunity to come to the UK.
And
2007, November. We arrived in the UK in 2007, November. Then until now, we stay in UK.
Well, you and a number of people we've gotten to know from the refugee camp, some moved to Finland.
Yes.
Some moved to Norway.
Yes.
and some moved to Canada.
Canada in the United States
and
also.
And the United States. Yeah. And so, you know, we have gotten to know this network of people that all kind of point to each other and point to you. And it's been a very, very interesting experience to discover you. And more interesting is your faith. You know, you have all been very, very faithful and stayed true to God's word.
Yes.
You know, in this very, very difficult time.
Yes.
One of the women that I have gotten to know in Finland, her father was one of the Karen generals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had a big portrait of him in his uniform, on the wall.
Yes.
And it was just interesting to see this world. At that time, that was before 2012, the ceasefire, but the war was still going on, and there were a lot of very strong feelings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now I'd like you to give us a little bit of a glimpse into what you're doing for the church. And one thing we heard that you were doing for the church is translating the hymnal. I would like to know more about that.
In 2000, I tried to contact my sister, my brother, after my father passed, because my father passed away in 2000. And I know that he had translated the hymn, the Worldwide Church of Hymnal.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't finished that at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I tried to finish what he has done
started
before.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I told one of my sisters to bring the script to me. Then I type with the computer, and I compile as a book.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, I got help from Mr. Leung, because he has a son that good in computer, so we can compile a church hymnal in Korean language.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But some of translated hymn are still missing, so I try to finish that.
Mm-hmm.
And I will continue what my father was doing before,
mm-hmm.
because I deem this is my duty,
mm-hmm.
because I was blessed by God. Mm-hmm. So now I am already in Thailand and I have a good job.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep doing something like a hymn translation. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I also doing something like a booklet from the church translation. And my aim is to send back to Burma to those who cannot read English.
Now, your father is the one who established those churches there?
Yes.
His father. And so was that church near where you came from?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And how many people did become part of it?
God has called two groups in Burma, Karen group and Chin group. Chin is one of the ethnic minority. Also.
Right, that's the one closer to Chiang Mai.
It's west of Chiang Mai, directly up north.
Oh, okay. And then that's one group, and then your father was more the pastor of the southern group?
He traveled. He did both groups.
He traveled once a year to another group.
Because we heard, you know, that it was very, very challenging for him. He had to, like for the Passover service, he had to bring wine in almost, you know, for 2 years' worth, you know.
So after I resettled in the United Kingdom, I always thinking how I can do for the church. That means because I'm getting old and I want to dedicate myself to God's work. That's why I always keep contact to the village, to the members. And in 2013, after I got a British citizen passport,
so
I tried to go back to Burma as Burma now open the opportunity to those who were refugees before, but who became foreigners. They welcome them to come back for a visit. Then I try to obtain my visa. Then I could obtain my visa. Yeah. So the first time in 2013, I traveled back to Burma. I met the members there. And we are talking about how to improve, how to develop the church.
And you are very, very valuable to us as far as connecting with the Korean people.
Thank you very much.
Because there are people who want to participate more in those areas, but unless you know the language, it's nothing. Because there isn't much English spoken in Myanmar, right?
Yeah,
And then what are your plans for the future?
I decided to move back to Burma because there is no leader or no one to take care of the church now.
Uh-huh.
So I decided to move back to Burma.
Mm-hmm.
like I will stay, I will spend half by half time, 6 months here, 6 months in Burma, mm-hmm. because we also have our two girls here. Sometimes we have to take care of them also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, we understand. We understand that, and we understand your desire to go back and to care for the people and to establish those churches. And hopefully, are there people, their leadership there for the sustaining of the life of the church?
Yes, currently, in 2017, when Mr. Dean came to Burma mm-hmm. for the feast, we were talking about Mr. Dean asked me who take care of the church. And I said, currently we have the young man by the name of Solo E.
Solo E.
Solo E. He is also very dedicated to church, to God's work. Mm-hmm. Mr. Dean, I think he made a good decision. Then he ordained him a deacon. Mm-hmm. And as I'm a middleman, I live in UK. I have to contact every week. Uh-huh. And we are talking about the church, how the church is going on. Mm-hmm. What we can do for the church.
What I want to say is this here at this point is that we're so grateful mm-hmm. for your being able to come to the pastoral development program
yes,
here.
Yeah.
And we hope that you can help us out in the further development yes. of that area.
Yes, sure. Yes.
And also yeah. we would love to be able to find some way to send people over there, like yes. we had the two young men yes. that went there. I would like you to describe that, some what you did this last year for the feast. With regarding the two young men who came from Australia?
Yes, 3-4 months before the feast, I got a contact from Mr. David Bessinger. He's the son-in-law of Mr.
Romer. Yeah. Yeah.
And Mr. Bessinger, he's willing to come to Sakanji. Mm-hmm. He mentioned that he went to come from the Feast of Trumpet. And after talking to Mr. Bessinger, I contacted Mr. Dean promptly. I told him that I will be back, uh-huh. even though I didn't have any plan, because mm-hmm. now Mr. Bessinger will come to my village. So Mr. Dean told me that he will, if I stay until end of Feast of Tabernacle, he will try to organize some people to come for the feast. Mm-hmm. So later I came to know that he mm-hmm. organized two young men from Australia. Mm-hmm. who graduated from ABC mm-hmm. to come from the field. And we appreciate mm-hmm. appreciate so much, because even though they are young men, they behave like a pastor, you know. Mm-hmm. Apart from the service, they are very friendly.
Yep.
But in the service, they are speaking like a pastor.
Uh-huh.
We respect them very much.
Yeah. Well, I was so happy to hear that, because this is the kind of example that we want to set.
Yeah.
And we want this to be an example that others say, I want to be like that. Mm-hmm. I want to do that too.
Yeah.
And then we can continue the work in Burma that way.
Yes. Also, Mr. David Bessinger, also, he is very kind people. He's a kind person. Mm-hmm. And any time when I need something for the spiritual or physical, please openly.
Well, they also had a problem with work in the village. The people were being asked to work on the Sabbath. And so Life Nets and Good Works were able to buy 6 acres of a rice field next mm-hmm. to the village.
Mm-hmm.
And now they can work and do their own rice.
It's beautiful rice. It must be harvest time right now, because I saw some machinery in the field. That was just recent, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes, it's November right now, mid-November.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
What year did you buy that?
Just this year.
Oh, this year.
This year.
They bought it just in time to plant the crops.
Okay. Yeah, and I saw that they're already harvesting.
Yeah.
Well, Davidson, it's been very wonderful talking to you today. We have...
Thank you.
Appreciated being able to get the whole story from beginning to end. I've known you here and there, but I've never heard the whole story, and also had the opportunity, wonderful opportunity, to meet your wife, Tutu.
Yes,
she's
thank
a
you
very,
very,
very, very lovely lady, and both of you certainly seemed very, very engaged with the pastoral development program that we have here.
Yes. I was very happy to know that we were welcome to come here, and I am very thankful to you and Mr. Dean.
Mm-hmm.
So in the future, I will try my best in order to bring the member, the church member, to do God's work
mm-hmm.
as I can.
And I think of the passage in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3, which reads about how the Apostle Paul said that he was thankful for the people and remembered them all the time in his prayers. Yes. And we want to, in the same way now, feel very, very engaged with you, yes, even though we won't see you. But I hope that we could meet again. I yes. appreciate all the people who have gone over there to participate with your people, with the people, the Karen people, and also the Chin, Kachin people,
yes,
and also with the help that we can provide with camps, with agriculture, with perhaps machinery, and we can talk about that more.
Yes, yes.
Thanks for joining us on Inside United. Please write to us at podcast@ucg.org. You can easily find us on the UCG website. Go to the main menu bar and click on podcast. Also, download your favorite podcast app, either on Apple or on Android. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Come back again soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.